All right, Amanda, I am not in the mood to edit anything, so this it has to be one hot take, and it has to be flawless. So,
no pressure. No pressure at all.
My mental health is riding on your shoulders. Welcome to Bonding Time. Happy Holidays. Today, Amanda Twilliger and I just tackled talking about our fall and the aspects of how we had to pivot and be flexible leading up to the fall Sela and some of the story around that. We talk about what's to come with the Sela. We talk about just the beauty and the healing power of creativity, even if you think you're not a creative. And food and the holidays and everything else. We just talked about all the things. I always love talking to my bosom friend, Amanda, and I'm sure you guys will enjoy this conversation too. Thank you to everyone who has given feedback and listened and joined in the conversations. It always is such a help when you give it a rate or a review or share with a friend. And I hope you guys are having a beautiful week. Enjoy this conversation with Amanda Twilliger. Tell me what you've been doing this week leading up to Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay. One of my favorite things to do when I have time and I'm not homeschooling my kids is to throw stuff away. So I've been throwing so much junk away, and it literally feels like my house is saying thank you. Like,
praise the Lord. Every time. Yeah.
And I just feel better. So I've been, while the kids are like busy and playing and running around outside or whatever, I have been organizing all of their toys and throwing away things super sneakily, or just being like, hey, I'll be right back, and going to people helping people and donating box after box of stuff. And I really do. I do feel like I'm happier and my house is happier. So,
oh, I feel God's pleasure on me when I am purging and throwing things away. It's like the wind beneath my wings. And I just go, I've had a hard time lately because we have all these really cool, conveniently located donation boxes just in random parking lots all over our town. And they are all closed because of COVID. So I have bags of toys that I don't want the kids to see that I'm getting rid of and clothes. And I've been driving around with them in the back of my van. I cannot make myself sound any grosser right now, but who am I going to impress? But I've been looking for a place to drop them smoothly so the kids don't notice. That's
really I know.
That makes you feel thankful. What's your other favorite Thanksgiving traditions you're doing right now?
Tomorrow we're going to just kind of start like making our food and prepping it. Usually I make cinnamon rolls and I do that like the day before, but since the Sela and discovering Jack's Dog's cardamom rolls, I was just like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm ordering from Jack's Dogs. So I'm going to go pick those up tomorrow. And I'm really thankful and excited about that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Bella, did you tell anyone to bring some for me?
I did. I told a few people, and tomorrow I'm going to remind those few people.
Thank you. God bless you. All right. So let's jump in. I wanted to catch up. I decided at the exact time of the Sela, which we had prepped for in prayed for and worked really hard on. I just booked a cruise and I left town for a couple weeks and I left you to do all the work. So I'm sorry, but how did it go? Well, I was suntanning on the beaches.
Yeah, exactly.
No, in all seriousness, we'll talk about it later on the podcast, but most people know that my baby decided to arrive extremely early in a very dangerous, crazy way the week of the Sela, so it just threw this giant wrench in all of our plans. And I'm really thankful that I was here and not up in a cabin far away, because we only had mere moments to get to the hospital. But that is a different story for a different day. I wanted to talk to you though about leading up to the Sela, some of the, like, the vision and the clarity of sort of our message that kept coming to both you and me in what it is we were hoping to accomplish and do leading into the Sela.
Yeah. I know that with each Sela, I feel like we have this really vague, broad vision of what we want it to be. And each one that happens, it just gets a little clearer and a little more focused and in shape. Right. And over this summer, I remember we were just talking about how we really want to move more towards it not being like a girls' weekend, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, we want the feel to be really intentional and not feeling bad about, you know, our job as space holders and being intentional with that, because I think we want people to feel like it's your time, be free to do whatever you want. You should, you know, be creative however you want to be creative. But I also feel like you and I were wanting to put a little bit more definition and a little bit more guidelines around it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like, I remember this Brené Brown quote that we came across over the summer where she said that stillness is not about focusing on nothing. It's about creating a clearing. It's opening up an emotionally clutter-free space and allowing ourselves to feel and think and dream and question. So like, that gave us kind of more authority to maybe put like a schedule together and kind of stick to it. Like, we're actually gonna hold like an itinerary and nobody has to feel like they're being forced to wake up at 7 a.m. But we're just gonna say like, here's what we're doing, and we're gonna kind of set the tone for things.
Yeah. Yes. So for someone who has never heard or never been to the Sela, can you just describe in like a paragraph nutshell what being a placeholder or space holder means for the person who comes?
So what we hope to do is that being a placeholder, a seat saver for you, is that we're just going to make sure we hold the space so that you can come and you can rest and you can bring whatever kind of creative work that you want to work on, whether that's writing or painting or, you know, one girl brought a keyboard this last time and she practiced working out lessons for voice lessons and piano playing. And but we'll hold that space for you so that your time is your own, but we also will like feed you really good food. And so that's what our job is to hold space for you so that you can have the freedom to like go and be creative and have a pause in your life and maybe be able to focus on the things that you don't have the time to focus on in your ordinary life, and then feed you in between. And also, as we're gathering more people who are hungry for that creative time and that creative outlet, it's creating a community of other creatives who are kind of like sharpening each other and sparking off of each other and inspiring one another.
Yeah. Yeah. I've noticed that like inspiration begets inspiration. And when you're kind of in a community of people who are telling you there's no wrong way to do this, if you need to rest all day and then have like a cluster of inspiration on the very last day or after you get home, or like, just kind of, I think we get hung up on like what everyone else is doing instead of just being, I think it's sort of like being alone together and letting each other inspire each other and build off each other and get ideas from each other, but also seeing that there's not really I don't know, so many people have been like, well, can I come even if I'm not a creative? And I think everyone finds that if you're human, you are in need of inspiration and in need of taking in beauty and putting out beauty. And that looks all different kinds of ways. But I don't know, I kind of have seen that once you're in that environment, just stuff kind of pours out of you a little bit.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, I believe that we are created by a creator mm-hmm. who is intelligent, and facets of that are in all of us. So we're all creative, and we all have ways that we are creative. It might just not look like what we think of as like, well, if you're creative, then you paint, or if you're creative, then you write. And
right, right. Well, will you back me up, like do a little storytelling of the week or two leading up to the Saylet, what that was like to kind of go into it, what our mindset was, and then having to pivot and be flexible and roll with it when you found out you were just going to be like solo and doing it alone. Maybe you were relieved, but I'm just kidding. I'm curious from your point of view, like what showed up for you during that time? Cause it was a lot of change in the matter of a couple days.
Well, I know that in the weeks leading up to it, you and I had mentioned as we like, cause we would talk every week and make plans, and we were talking pretty consistently, even a couple of times a week leading up to it as it got closer.
Yeah.
And just about like, you know, our vision sharpening, really wanting to set a different tone for this Sela, and feeling like, oh, we're going to need to like really kind of practice what we're believing, you know, mm-hmm. and what we're wanting to see happen. And I feel like that's kind of what happened. Like one of the things that I feel like I was having to practice the week that everything kind of went crazy was not spiraling into a bunch of what ifs and fretting and worrying about all of the loose ends and trying to figure out how I was going to do everything, because the only thing I could do was the next thing right in front of me. And so that was one thing that you and I have been talking about too, was like just doing the next thing and taking the next step and seeing what happens when we just are obedient with the next step. And so that was almost a really slow week leading up to the Sela of like, just do the next thing, just do the next thing. And then once I got to maybe the day before, where there was nothing else to do except for Sela stuff, the kids were taken care of and all the other details and everything had already kind of all fit together, then I kind of really panicked. Like, oh no, the next thing is the Sela. How
is it actually?
It's here. I remember going for a couple walks, but one specifically, and just really praying and talking out all of my fears. And I feel like that's a healthy practice for me. I just do better when I go and almost like mentally vomit everything that I'm thinking about to the Lord. And anyway, I just really felt specifically like he was telling me, like, it's all there. It's all ready inside of you, everything that you need. Cause just feeling so inadequate and feeling like I'm just gonna show up and I've got nothing. I have nothing to offer. And without Lou, it's not really that cool. So
shucks.
Nobody's gonna want to come anyway. And so it was just a real faith builder in a way for me. Just to see God's goodness in how he showed up in other people, because just about every single person that I reached out to with the Sela, just to let them know what was going on, and yes, it was still happening, and to email me with questions, and a lot of these people, I think it was over half of them, I had never met before, and so they were all, like, offering their help in any way, or just letting me know that, hey, we're praying, but we're still really excited to come, and yeah, just watching God show up and meet me there like I wanted him to, and I kind of thought he probably would, but you also kind of are like, but I'm totally okay with you if you don't. Yeah. And there was a good surprise.
I think there's a little bit of an added pressure going into this year or this fall, Sela, because it has been such an intense year and experience for everyone, including us, where we just know, like, gosh, there's been an intensity to this year like we've never experienced. And if anyone needed a Selah, it's probably right now. And we both felt a little wrung out. So it's like, okay, we want to offer this, but we also don't feel like we have a ton to like flourishing out of our lives every day to like give in excess because it's been an intense year. So we wanted, like, I think that was our reasoning for being like, okay, let's be intentional. These people are like, most people are feeling brittle and dry as a bone. And so then at the last minute to feel like, oh no, I think it's really beautiful and perfect how God works and how he does show up. But it's like always kind of in the 11th hour sometimes. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think you handled it beautifully.
Oh, well, thank you. For me, it was really neat to almost like just step back and watch and see what all was going on, because there was just like this really, I don't know, just really deep hum of creativity that was happening. And it was really sweet to see, and a lot of connections being made because people were showing up and wanting to like meet with other creatives and
yeah.
find out more. And every person who came was interested in the other person who was there because of different reasons. And so it was really neat to just almost like, I was in the kitchen a lot. And so just being in the kitchen and kind of like cooking or setting things out and just kind of listening in on conversations was a really neat experience.
Yeah.
Without feeling like you had to be the buffer in between anything. You were just kind of like holding the space again and seeing what happened and making food for everybody. So it was, that was neat. And then there was just like good, rich conversations that kind of like began and ended each day that I just keep thinking about, like talking about, well, why are you here? A lot of people are just asking like, so what is it that you're hoping to get out of this? Or what are you here to work on? And what are some things that frustrate you with, you know, your creative process? And so a lot of books and different artists and things like that were being shared. A lot of discussions on, you know, hard times and growth and grief, and all of that was really sweet. And then I talked about it in the blog, but we talked about being intentional with our time after the Selah, because it's really nice to have the space of a few days where you really feel like you can slow your mind down and step out of your ordinary life and go for a hike in nature. And then you can like come home and have somebody, you know, prepare food for you. And then you have all of this time that's yours where you can kind of sit down and think over some things like, what's really working for me right now? What's not working for me? What are ways that I want to move forward with my creativity? And you can kind of just sit with some questions and maybe journal those out. And then maybe you can work on your creativity and all of those things. And then when you jump back into ordinary life, that isn't really the norm at all. And so we talked about like paying attention to our margins, because we all have margins of like maybe 10 minutes here or maybe 20 minutes here, and building the habits now with the things that we feel that we're called to and that we want to pursue, and being intentional in just the little chunks of time that feel like, well, I couldn't really get anything really done now, or I couldn't really go as in depth as I wanted to in this art project or in this thing I'm creating or this paragraph I'm writing, because I'm just going to get interrupted or something. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to scroll on my phone instead, or I'm going to numb out in this with this. And so the discussion ended up going to like, a lot of times we think like, eventually I'll get to do the things that I want to do, or eventually I'll get to where life isn't so crazy. But if in your margins and the habits that you're building now, you're not making room for creativity and the things that you want to eventually pursue, you're not going to know what to do with yourself when you finally do maybe arrive and you have more time on your hands. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I do. So what is it like for someone maybe who isn't even wanting to pursue it for work, but like, what is it that happens to us that you see when we do allow a margin for creativity within ourselves? What does it do to someone, even someone who thinks I'm not a creative? What is it that creativity does that nothing else can do in us?
I feel like, and this could just be me, so it could be different for other people, but I feel like it shifts our focus off of ourselves and gets us focused elsewhere too. When we're being creative, and it also makes us feel more in tune and alive. I feel more alive, obviously, when I'm being creative or when I'm writing. I feel like I'm tapping into something that I was always meant to do, because God is mining that out of me. Mm. And he's put those desires and he's put those things in me. And when I'm opened to that, and I have allowed myself to just start digging in a way into like, okay, I know that this makes me feel alive, so I'm going to start pursuing it and I'm going to start working on it. I feel like he then continues to dig more out of, yeah, of me, what I was always meant to do.
Mm-hmm. And you're focusing on, if you're, I don't know, it just makes you more mindful of other creation, whether it's from other people and in creation of like nature. I just feel like you kind of wake up to everything around you a little bit more. Sometimes when I'm creating, I feel a little bit like there's a delight or pleasure that's childlike in me, but on me too. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I just think that sometimes you can feel God's pleasure on you when you're digging.
Exactly. And kind of like what you were saying too, when you're just more mindful and aware of like even in nature and being aware of, you know, the way that the sun is slanting or the sunlight is slanting down on things, or just paying attention to your senses, it's like you're awakening awe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And you're awakening the ability to worship, and we are created to worship.
That's so good, and that's so true. That's something I want to, well, of course I have things I want to pursue for myself, but that, what you just said, is what I want to model and invite my family and my kids and my friends, mm-hmm, and my neighbors into with me. It's cool to hear you put words around it, because sometimes it's hard for me to capture it with words.
I have this quote that's sitting in front of me, so I'll read it and see if it kind of applies to. It's by Rachel Naomi Remen. And okay, it says, at the deepest level, the creative process and the healing process arise from a single source. When you are an artist, you are a healer. And so also I was just thinking like, with our creativity, a lot of times things inside of us, like wounds inside of us, get healed so that we in turn can turn around and heal others as well. And it was interesting to hear other people talking about the reason why they got into certain mediums of art, and for a lot of people it seems like it was a way of processing, you know, and a way of working on healing. Anyway,
I think that we've seen that in a micro level in our afternoon watercolor sessions, but like when you like I don't know why I said it like that, because I'm not making fun of it, but I feel silly painting. It legitimately looks like one of my 5-year-olds did it, but there is something when you like just set out this stuff, put on good music, and it's like after people have been kind of doing their thing throughout the day, and we've seen it where everyone just kind of sits down quietly and starts painting and working with their hands, and stuff just kind of comes out of you. There's always these kind of holy conversations, or
mm-hmm,
or not. Sometimes it's just really quiet, but it feels sort of like, oh, this time is kind of like sacred. It feels like you're being healed or held or rocked to sleep or something.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That was one of my favorite parts of the day too. This time, I think I sat down a few times to start to paint, but mostly I just like sat back and soaked it in and watched, because it was like so many people just kind of gathering in from the day and doing their different things and being about, or maybe up in the loft, or working on different things. And when we would set like the candle and start the music and set all of the watercolor out, it was like really sweet to see the people that gathered around and the conversations that happened. And it was just really healing just to watch that.
Yeah. Right. Well, one thing I've learned, I wasn't at this last one, but one thing I've learned is that because we've been sort of commissioned, we've both felt like be a placeholder for people, and you don't have to babysit it. Like you were saying, staying back in the kitchen and listening to other new friendships spark, or people where you don't have to like jump in and buffer, oh, this person needs to know this about that person. It's just sort of like, I think this is sort of meant, the creativity and the spirit of God is supposed to be a little bit wild and free. It doesn't need to be harnessed, and it's more beautiful whenever you just sort of like don't micromanage, don't babysit it, and sit back and kind of like watch what happens. But we are like really faithful and intentional with the details that we know will be like caring for and feeding these people, like they, you know, sort of like to look at them all like a sweet child and be like, you need to be treated really tenderly for a few days. We're here for that.
Yes. Well, we had talked about, you and I earlier, before all of this, when we were planning, like if somebody would have done this for us and just said, hey, I'll make you food and I won't make you do anything all day if you don't want to, but just like bring your laptop, bring your podcast material and sit down and work on it, and then I'll make you dinner at the end of the day, we would have been like crying and running to get there. So in a way it feels like the totally right to just do this for other people. Like we need this, so we're just inviting everybody else along the journey. We're still honing everything and figuring it all out, but we don't have like our creative process nailed, and we're still figuring out, you know, our margins and our habits and all of those things. I don't feel like a professional in any of those areas. I just feel like I'm learning and I'm inviting others along for the journey, and let's make food together.
I love that. So what is that barrier of self-consciousness that comes right before you do enter into creativity? Do you have any tools for kind of fighting that? I feel like it's a common thing. You just have to spend at the Sela and at home, like the first half day getting past, just like, I'm not good at this. I'm not really a writer. I'm not really a creator. You know what I mean? And then it's just like, oh, come on, just start. But how do you kind of deal with yourself in a gentle way? And how would you encourage people who are thinking of coming or even just starting a creative process at home?
Yeah, I know for you and I, it started with just having, even just being honest, you know, and saying it out loud, like, I'm really insecure in this area. And I feel like that was a huge way, hurdle for me to get over. Like, I really want to write, and I want to write where other people see it, but I'm really insecure about it. And just saying it out loud, and having a few trusted people that maybe you show some of your art to, or maybe you like share your clothing line that you've been working on that you don't know if anyone would really like or buy, but you want to just show it to somebody, or you know, the thing that you're creating. And I also have come to realize that that voice never goes away. Like, you're not good enough. And
imposter syndrome.
Yes. And, but that voice doesn't get to dominate whatsoever. And you can choose to say, I'm not listening to you. So coming to recognize, like, this is my, you know, my enemy that always wants to speak up or has something really nasty to whisper in my ear every time I go to sit down and I go to write or I go to turn anything in, and recognizing it, and also not beating myself up for believing it sometimes. Mm-hmm. And knowing, yeah. Another writer I know, she talks about this with fear, but sometimes I feel like fear and then that imposter syndrome can go hand in hand. Like, you can allow fear in the car, but they can't drive. And yeah. So I've been thinking a lot about that. Like, well, they're always going to be there. That mm-hmm. that imposter syndrome and everything is probably always going to be trying to clear its throat and raise its voice, but we can choose who to listen to.
Yeah. Allie Worthington, I was just listening to her talk about imposter syndrome, and she was saying, she said it really well in a way I've never thought of before, but she said, like, that inner critic that rises up right before you kind of have a breakthrough or are vulnerable, it's just like a worrywart kind of enabling mom who's watched you get hurt in the past. And so they've just accumulated all the information and they tell you, like, I'm just trying to not let you get hurt. I'm just trying to not let you get embarrassed again. And so they're always just trying to remind you of, like, remember this or remember that, or they're probably not going to like it. Just don't do it. And I thought, that's so true. I don't want to be like this enabling person like that to my kids. I would want to deal with my own self in that same way, you know, to inspire them and make them brave. Or what are some of the things from the Selah that you feel are carrying over into this holiday season that maybe impacted you?
I guess one of the things that I'm still thinking about and working on is mostly faithfulness. Like, because we talked about our margins and we talked about our habits, and you know, for me, I've gone into almost every Selah with, like, goals and like, okay, I am going to work on this and I'm going to knock out a couple projects and I'm going to this year turn in a couple things to these places. And I've sat down and, like, tried to get as much done so that I felt like, okay, I did good and I earned the space that I took, you know?
Yeah.
And for this Selah, I didn't work on anything. I just hosted it and I brought my laptop and I opened it up maybe once to, like, write down a couple notes from what was happening that I wanted to write down. But I mostly, like, when I had free time, I talked with others about creativity or I grabbed my book and just kind of soaked in it. And it made me just think, like, moving forward, like, I think it's great to have goals and to check off things, but I think being faithful with doing the next thing in front of me and not getting so consumed with, like, by the end of this year, I want to have this accomplished and this going for me and that, and if I don't, then I failed, you know, just being faithful with, like, the little chunks of time that I have in front of me, with the little writing projects, with the little magazines that I'm writing for, and then just seeing what God does and how he grows it. So that's kind of what I'm carrying over, because I kind of went into before everything happened with this Selah, again, you know, I was telling you, like, having goals and thinking before everything happened with you and stuff, like, I'm going to come out the other side with an answer to whether I go this way or that way with my writing, you know, and all of that was just like, no, what if you just were faithful and just kept taking one step at a time? Does that make sense?
That's beautiful. And I love that you told that for two reasons. For one is, if someone needs to use the Selah for that purpose, to not have goals, but to come and soak and sit, that's absolutely what you should do. And it'll be more profitable in your life than if you show up with piles of projects to get done. Mm-hmm. Also, the second part of what you said, as far as being just consistent and faithful but not having, like you're saying, not having to be in the driver's seat, not having to know the end game, but just being like, I'm going to keep showing up. I'm going to stay flexible. Just take me on an adventure. I feel like life is just so much better that way. I wish I would have known that years ago. Like, you know, I think it's just better to be consistent and faithful, but just kind of have some blind trust. I think that's really And I can't wait to see what happens with that. Like, so can you talk about a little bit what we have planned for this year tentatively, because we have learned how to put plans in permanent ink. But
well, one of the things we have like simmering in the pot for sure, I guess, I mean, if you can say that, is we did book a place for June 11th through the 14th, and we are excited to host our fourth Sela.
Yeah, I'm excited, and I can't wait.
Fourth Sela. And then another thing that we're kicking around is, and we'll just see how things go with you and what our winter looks like, but maybe just having one night, you know, in Le Grand doing it. Mini Sela. Mm-hmm. Our Selas are already micro, like we have small batches of people that can come. Sounds like I'm cooking something. Small batch.
Not a little batch. No, I think it's great to do everything in micro groups in COVID life, because it keeps everything safer and simpler.
Yes, but yeah, in the middle of deep winter when we're all just longing for spring to maybe just have one night at maybe your story house, if we can swing it. It's still like a big maybe, but doing a one night Sela where people could come and have one good dinner, stay the night if they want to, and you know, have, you know, about 24 hours to work on whatever project they want to work on.
That'd be wonderful.
It's an idea. We have a couple people who are in our lives right now who are really gifted with pottery and wall hangings and art in that area. And so we thought, like, why not feature them so that their stuff could kind of be on display? So some of those things could be for sale, and then we'll make food. And you could sit with your laptop or bring your art easel or do whatever, or just rest with a book and, yeah, just take a deep breath for 24 hours. Yeah. So that's something that we have kind of cooking. And then yeah, we're going to start planning for the spring Sela, and it's going to be in Donnelly this year. In the spring, we usually try and do Idaho, and then we're going to probably in the fall look to someplace in Oregon, probably Willow Lake or something like that again.
Yes. So the dates again are 11th through the 14th. If you're interested, message me, message the Bonding Time Instagram or Lou Dre or at Amanda Twill. Reach out to any of us and we'll work it out with you to get a spot held for you. I'm really excited. So Amanda, to close it out, let's talk about the food at the Sela. Why is that so important to us? There's just something about feasting that feels like it's the perfect medicine.
Okay, so
wonderful food.
Yes, for one, we like to eat. It's no surprise.
I think everyone knows that about me.
We like good food. And one of the things with the Sela that we want to offer people is food, one that is like really good tasting, but also doesn't make you feel super sluggish and carved out necessarily. Mm-hmm. I mean, we did do like pasta and stuff like that, but
that feeling when you've just eaten junk on a trip forever and you can't even string a sentence together. We both know all too well.
We've all kind of like been to conferences where it's been great and the teaching's good, but you can barely like keep your eyes open because you just have like conference food, you know? And so we really want it to be like wholesome and where you just feel like you've been spoiled in a way, and really good home cooked food.
Right.
So we're kind of picky about the recipes and everything. The first night that we had the Sela, I read out of Every Moment Holy from Douglas McKelvey. And one of the liturgies that he writes is called Feasting with Friends. And he says this about it, and this, I feel like, sums it up. To gather joyfully is indeed a serious affair, for feasting and all enjoyment gratefully taken are, at their hearts, acts of war. And I just love that. I feel like that's what why feasting is so important to us. It's like an act of war. We're like going into battle. Like, we're going to do this. We're going to show up and we're going to hold this space and nothing is going to stop us. We're going to eat good food and we are going to create beautiful things.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I love that. So yeah, you mentioned the cinnamon rolls. There's all kinds of really good, beautiful food last time. And I can't wait to get cracking on some recipes and things we want to do for this one coming up in June. Speaking of, oh, go ahead.
Well, and we like featuring local people who food is their art and their passion. So yeah, we really tried to do that this last time. It'd been something that we'd talked about in the past. Like, what if we could really just feature people who like love coffee or love bread or love, you know, certain things that they make. And so we were able to find a couple people that, we purchased pasta from, and we purchased, you know, we had the Gold Room cater a meal, and we had a bookstore create some good stuff for breakfast and everything. And so
it's
fun to do that.
It's encouraging their like creativity, which is what we're all about, their form of art. Yes. What are you making for Thanksgiving? What are you working on? Do you start prepping tomorrow, or did you already start prepping?
My turkey's out and thawing. That's my prep. Wade is, you know, he's like, loves to make his mashed potatoes, and him and I like to kind of make our own seasoning for our turkey, but we keep it pretty like traditional, I feel like. I don't know. We're going to do our green beans, and he's really excited about his mom's cornbread stuffing. So I'm going to figure out how to make that. Because we're doing it on our own this year. We're just going to be by ourselves. So, and your mom makes like this like jello dish that my kids love. So I'm just going to make that jello thing.
That's what my kids requested too.
Grandma's
jello.
Seriously.
It's so exciting. Well, I am thankful for you. When I was writing out my thankful list for Thanksgiving, you were at the very tippy top.
Yay.
The first one. Above anyone else. No,
I'm sorry. Really cool. A for Amanda.
I did it alphabetically, so it works out well. No, I'm just thankful that you kind of were committed and faithful to our vision, and I just rested super well with the help of all kinds of drugs, but also just peacefully in the hospital being like, man, I'm sad that I'm missing this, but I'm also so at peace knowing that we are like super unified in this vision, and I just cannot wait to hear all about it. And I've heard nothing but good things. I'm really thankful for
you.
Okay, friends, we have an exciting offer for any time between Black Friday and Christmas Eve. If you want to jump in on the next Sela and reserve your spot, you will receive 15% off. So you can DM me on Instagram at Lou Dre or at the Bonding Time Podcast, or you can DM Amanda Twill, or you can also just email us. We have an email address that's creativesalaretreats@gmail.com. creativesalaretreats@gmail.com. So jump in on this holiday offer and get yourself a Christmas present.